Dobsonville, happy Friday, everybody. Hope you're good out there enjoying this ugly weather, getting ready for Easter weekend, though. I really hope everybody travels safe if you're going out of town for the next couple days. Please be good on the roads and don't, what's it called when you're riding up on tailgating? Tailgating? Yeah, that's it.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Just following too closely?
Dude.
Tailgating?
Yeah, I have a guilty, guilty.
You're a notorious tailgater, aren't
you? No. I have a guilty pleasure, though. At night, for the past week, before I go to bed at night, I fire up YouTube, and I watch road rage incidents.
What's wrong with you?
Nothing. I just watch. It's interesting to me. That part's interesting to me.
It's very guilty pleasure.
No, just like watching people get all pissed off and
like
stuff
on the road.
Bad
wrecks?
No, not bad wrecks. Like people getting pissed off at each other.
I know how cynical we were getting.
No, not like bad wrecks. No, like people getting mad at each other or, you know, tailgating or...
Is that an extensive rabbit hole?
There's a lot of videos. I did not know this. They have people that come up with complicated.
Intern Matt's shaking his head. So this is a very known.
It's really cool stuff.
Genre of videos.
The YouTube place is called Fury Road TV.
Interesting.
Just thought I'd throw that out there.
See,
you get new knowledge every day from me.
Stuff.
No, it's pretty cool. It's
you get road
funny.
Rage?
No, I don't get road rage.
I do.
I don't care. I actually just wave at him and laugh.
I do.
I think that pisses him off.
I do the
more.
Thing too. I do the thing where you drive up beside him and you just look at him and you shake your head.
It's every time. I get it. Chance Collins in the house.
What up,
BJ? Chance, how was your night?
It's good.
Yep,
it's good.
Did you
as
watch
always.
Any bad basketball?
Was it all bad last night? Yeah, it kind of was last night.
I watched the Nets Sixers game, and that was good for about 3.5 quarters.
I turned it off and turned it on hockey.
The Sixers won, yeah, but like Brandon said, it was good for most of the way, just end of the third.
Pulled away.
The fourth quarter, Sixers pulled away. Joel Embiid, Jimmy Butler, Ben Simmons, I guess he's been playing okay now.
I was head deep into the
but
Mueller report. So
that's one I still think that we'll probably still go like 6 or 7 games. Clippers and Warriors, I expected that. They came
Who
into
won
that. Warriors did.
Okay.
By a lot. I expected that, though, because, you know, they lose the game after a 31-point comeback. Durant has the comments to the media about, like, hey, I can go out and get these shots if I want to. I'm actually distributing the ball. He goes for 35 last night and pretty effortless, if I might say so myself. So he looked like, you know, the Durant that could take over a game if he wants to. And, yeah, that was expected. They went into the Staples Center. And pretty much beat them down and showed them why they're the defending champs.
I wanted to come off the top of a little news. There was some news that broke about an hour ago, right at about 11:45. Our friend of the show, Aaron Torres, had put this tweet out. He said, so per my guy, Soft K Jr., I don't know, whatever, some guy. Washington.
Who is that?
Some guy has got like 87,000 followers. He does college basketball and hosts a show up in the Northwest. Washington and Tennessee will meet in an out-of-conference game next year. Should be a good matchup of teams, depending on who comes back. They can both start in top 25. So I made a couple calls and talked to a few people, you know, some sources, and seemed like that's done. That Tennessee will play Washington. And I'm just going off kind of what I was told. Basing, I wasn't the first to report this at all. Dave Mahler... who is Softy? That's Softy K Jr. He reported it, Brandon. But I kind of followed up and just want to confirm it. In Tennessee, Washington, college basketball next year, neutral site game. Neutral site game.
That seems like a waste.
No, why is it a waste?
That'd Washington's be, terrible.
They're not bad. That could be a top 25 team to start next year.
Yeah.
I like Tennessee playing these neutral site games.
They had the number
and
one.
And the spot for this game is. I'm not going to say where the spot is, okay? I'm just not going to right now, but I will say it'll be cold as hell.
Yeah.
So
I would not pay. I would go to this game if it was in Knoxville. That's about it.
It's a neat out-of-conference game. I'm glad they're doing it.
Now, if they played UCLA, I'd be interested.
Well, it's the same thing as like the Gonzaga matchup last year in Arizona.
Except Gonzaga's really good.
Yeah, but Washington's going to be good next year. Washington, if they get the returners that they have. And look, we're not going to act like we're going to sit here and say we're Pac-12 experts, but I do know Washington basketball.
I want UCLA for the storylines. Washington does not interest me.
Yeah, but this is something they've been talking about for a while. So That will be that will probably be officially announced sometime over the summer. But I'm just following up on his report out there that was already put out today. And I just kind of called around a little bit and started asking some questions. And I think I know the site, but I'm not gonna say
Chicago. No. They're playing in Toronto or something, Canada. Oh God.
No, they're not.
If it's okay,
they're not at all. But I'm just saying that there's a.
It's going to be like the Alaska shootout, like they used to have in the.
There is nothing early wrong 90s. With that. The hell, they had that 3 or 4 or 5 years ago. Kentucky played in it up there in Alaska.
I didn't remember that. I just remember the early 90s. They had like all the good teams played in it.
I thought that was actually neat. Get to go play in Alaska. It'd be pretty fun. But yeah, so there's some basketball nugs for you as you head into the weekend. Tennessee, Washington, probably next year. I think it is next year. So good stuff on that front. The news coming out today in college basketball. We'll talk to Nick Bromberg at 1:20 about this. Will Wade, Sean Miller, it was ruled this morning they will not have to testify next week at the trial involving Christian Dawkins. They will not have to testify next week at the trial involving Christian Dawkins. So all of this stuff, all this crap, Joe Oliva had to know that they were going to get this. He had to know. If you brought him back into the program and all of a sudden out of nowhere on a Friday, the judge rules that they don't have to testify, he had to know something was that they would at least get a good favorable ruling in this from the attorneys if he brought Will Wade back. Chance, your thoughts. College basketball coach is Sean Miller. Now, I will say this before you say anything. I will say that the defense attorney, Steve Haney, said this in this morning's hearing. The evidence establishes very clear that Sean Miller is paying players at Arizona. Afterward, the attorney Haney told reporters, "You'll have to be here to hear the evidence."
Interesting.
So pretty much saying it, hey, you have to be in the courtroom. And look, Dan Wetzel, Pete Tamel, somebody's going to be in that darn courtroom next week, and they'll be putting it out, everything that goes on. Opening remarks is when I say they have it. Like when he presents his opening remarks.
Yes.
That's when you're just like, hey, all right, I'm getting everything out right now, real quick, opening remarks. The judge can't say anything. I'm going to talk about this, and I'm going to tell about this coach paying this player and this. I'm going to get it all out in the opening remarks. It won't be like, I take it back to my Lincoln Lawyer reference, where, Matthew
your
McConaughey.
Favorite movie, your favorite
no, it ain't
movie.
My damn favorite movie, but it's a good movie.
Seems like it is.
Well, Matthew McConaughey, puts a
what?
Another case on the defendant.
Okay.
While he's arguing for a different case. So what's going to happen is the NCAA is going to be sitting in the courtroom next week, and this attorney is going to get up there. And he's just going to start rambling. And he's just going to start talking and presenting evidence that might not have anything to do with the case. And then the NCAA and the reporters are going to be like, oh.
Why would he do that, though? That's not his job.
Because now he's pissed off. Because remember, after the trial happened, he said, we're going to get any coach and every coach on the stand that I can subpoena.
Yeah.
We're going to go through hell and back to make this out. He wants to prove a point. So that's where this case is going. I would not be surprised one bit if it happens in the opening remarks. Because you can't present evidence but it would be hard to put the evidence in if those people aren't going to be there to testify for the evidence.
Yeah, I mean, it seems a little odd that, his testimony would be irrelevant. I'm guessing that's what you're talking about.
Yeah, like, they're saying it's irrelevant.
I don't know, man. Like, it continues to look like that nothing's really going to happen out of this. Like, they got some low hanging fruit on the scale. Like, going after the low guys, the middle guys, whether there's Dawkins, the other handlers out there, and nothing really going to happen to these coaches or, the NCAA really not really taking it that seriously. Sean Miller, that whole issue, I'm surprised. I don't know how he still has a job.
Well, I will say this. The New York City federal judge said this today. On the question of whether Arizona men's coach Sean Miller paid his players, it is irrelevant to bribery charges against former Hoops consultant Christian Dawkins and Mary Code. Judge Edgardo Ramos reserved the right to change his mind, but it doesn't look like the jury will hear recordings of Miller or see him testify. Testify ruling also applies to Will Wade. And on a programming note, this comes from Pete Brush, who was in the courtroom. Mm-hmm. He says, Judge Ramos wouldn't rule out opening arguments late in the day Monday, but I wouldn't bet on it. So it looks like Tuesday. Opening arguments.
Yeah.
That's when you get it. So it's all very interesting to me how this went down.
What are we really going to get, though, from it?
We're going to get a defense attorney who's going to go up there and who's just going to try to release bombshell after bombshell about this, where it's actually entered into
the public record?
Public record, but also the case. You know, so it's actually in the case. So what's going to happen is, because I would imagine they're not going to have cameras inside this damn thing. You're going to have reporters in there that, you know, should probably be their own stenographer. I mean, it's going to be something where they're getting it out as soon as possible, whatever he says, because it kind of seems like they're trying to float this thing under the radar a little bit. So,
yeah, it seems like, you know, a lot of hush-hush surrounding it.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it wouldn't necessarily be sealed documents to where anybody wouldn't be able to access it.
No. So I find it all very interesting. Brandon, how was your night?
Mine was good. No work, so just watch basketball.
No work, all play.
Just watch basketball. Any what? Hockey?
No.
Dude, nobody's no. watching watch hockey basketball if the Preds ain't
and,
on. Did
Game
you watch hockey?
Yeah, I watched a little bit of hockey.
Tell me who's the favorite for the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Oh, I have no
or
idea.
Finals, rather.
I thought Tampa Bay, but now they're out.
Yeah. Easy one. Chalk it up. They gone, though. The Preds, they play tomorrow
o'clock.
In Smashville, correct?
Yes, 2 o'clock. Against Dallas.
We'll see.
Wonder who gets in the goal in that game. Pekka? Pekka's been playing.
Pekka in front of the home crowd.
It is what it is. I don't know. This whole thing kind of throws me off a little bit.
Hockey?
Hockey didn't throw me. I've learned the rules of the hockey. I still don't know how the hell they get offsides, but other than that, I kind of know everything else. I think I do. Like icing, I get icing.
You do?
Yeah, I get
Explain
icing.
Explain it.
Well, with the offsides, it's pretty easy.
Well, icing is when...
I get the offsides. I don't understand the
icing.
Icing
is when they shoot... Two blue line pass.
Right, when they shoot the puck. Without somebody touching it beforehand on the opposite end.
Mm-hmm. Offside is pretty much like cherry picking.
Yeah.
You can't just have people back there, you know, just behind the defense waiting on scores.
I think that's how it is. The guy
with the puck has to be the first to cross your opponent's blue line.
Exactly.
And then everyone else can cross.
It's kind of like soccer in a way. Kind of. It is what it is. You guys excited for your show this weekend?
Oh, 100%.
Y'all are going to be talking about this like right after about 2:15 or so.
Maybe a little bit. But there's really
I'm more of a reaction guy. I like to throw in a lot of the predictions.
Speaking of Game of Thrones, up there on the screen is the Falcons intro to their NFL schedule this year. And bang, there's your Saints. Shout out right here. Here comes the ref to say, oh, no, it's just incomplete.
Okay. Is that going to be at their new stadium?
That is beautiful.
No, their new stadium won't be done by the start of the season.
The Saints?
The Rams.
The Rams have a new stadium coming? That was the Falcons we were just
talking
about.
Oh, that was the Falcons. I'm sorry. Yeah. I thought it was the Rams.
They just had a wild ram loose.
Okay, I thought that's what it was.
Taking out a Saints guy.
The wild ram took out the Saints guy.
It makes sense. All right, let's take a break. Coming up on the other side, Nick Bromberg is going to join us. Going to break down some college basketball, college football, and everybody else's favorite, NASCAR. Do it on the other side. It's optional. Optional Fox Sports Knoxville rolling along here in this 1 o'clock hour. Happy Good Friday to everybody.
Good Friday.
Hope everybody enjoys it. Has a great day with their family if you're taking off from work. Excited. Next guest, as always, usually comes on like Tuesdays, but some wackiness earlier this week. And Nick Bromberg joins us now. Nick, what up, buddy? How are you?
What's going on? How are you?
I don't know. Just trying to figure out why in God's name a judge up in New York decided, you know what, Will Wade, Sean Miller, you're good. You don't have to testify. Everything's fine. You go do your thing.
I've been doing other stuff this morning. I saw it, and I just it's another twist and turn. And heck, we saw the twist and turn earlier this week. I think it's going to be interesting to find out the day-to-day, the week-to-week here from what happened at Texas A&M and LSU when you've got an athletic director at A&M who hired a basketball coach in Buzz Williams, and now he's the new athletic director at LSU, and you have a former athletic director at LSU who has resigned not long after reinstating his basketball coach, Will Wade. There's a lot of moving parts here, and I think that's absolutely fascinating when you piece that timeline together.
Like, in your mind, don't you? I mean, this defense attorney for Dawkins, I mean, he was prepared to call everybody. You know, he could. And subpoena, remember that statement outside the court? I'm going to subpoena every coach that I can and, you know, go after them and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, would it surprise you one bit if he gets up there, you know, to start the trial and he just starts laying out a case against Will Wade and Sean Miller? Because he said today, you know, he said Sean Miller is paying players in Arizona. I mean, it. He said you have to be here to hear it. Is he sending a warning to the NCAA and reporters, hey, you might want to be in the courtroom when this thing starts because I'm going to let the cat out of the bag?
Potentially, but at the same time, I think we've seen with Michael Avenatti that there may be a lot more carnival barking than there actually is carnival. Nice thing is we will have Dan Wetzel on site at the trial starting Monday. So you want first person in the courtroom analysis, yes, from this trial on Monday, check Yahoo Sports because we will be absolutely on top of it. Whether it is absolutely a bombshell that further exposes college basketball and the underworkings, or if it, you know, proves to be maybe not so much.
Well, I'm very interested in this. What did you think about down at LSU? So Will Wade gets reinstated, late last week. All of a sudden, rumblings start coming out Monday afternoon-ish about Joe Oliva, and then he resigns, and then within 24 hours, which you know in this instance, they've been discussing this job for a while with Scott Woodard from Texas A&M, but then he gets named at LSU, and this is after he hired Buzz Williams and just signed Jimbo Fisher to his contract Monday morning. Like, what the world's going on between the Aggies and the Tigers? Like, I get that he's going home, Nick, but man, this, like you said, there's something a little iffy about this.
You have to think, and I'm not saying this is necessarily a bad thing, but you have to think that Buzz Williams came to Texas A&M knowing full well that Scott Woodward would not be his athletic director in this upcoming season. And that's totally fine. If that was an agreement he's comfortable with, then that's great. But, you know, you simply don't hire a basketball coach and then not realize in 3 weeks you're going to be the athletic director at your alma mater. I mean, that sounds very implausible to me, just based on knowing how this stuff works. And also, too, you know, I don't want to, based on the comments from some former board members, the guy who founded the Tiger Athletic Fund, Joe Oliva was not a liked person by some people influential at LSU. And so, obviously, you have the grace period here with Scott Woodward. You've got a guy who is an LSU guy coming in. And so he's going to be welcomed with open arms by the LSU community. That being said, he's going to have to potentially navigate a little bit more of outspoken people than he would at Texas A&M. And we all know Texas A&M has some influential people who are very, very outspoken. I remember, I still can't stop laughing about that, the one regent who was calling for Kevin Sumlin's firing, I think, after they lost that UCLA game a couple years ago, and then that same guy that ended up buying the tank and, like, drove it down the street. That, you know, I mean, it makes sense. You're going to call for a coach's firing week one. You're the type of guy who spends thousands upon thousands of dollars on, like, a military-grade tank. But anyway, you know, this is the SEC. Welcome to the SEC. And now you have a very prime, lucrative job, athletic director job, in Texas A&M that's open because that is a top 10, top 5 revenue-grossing athletic department.
It amazes me just how much money is spent between these conference, you know, in this conference, and then also just how of a circus wheel that's just, it looks like from the outside looking in, and for people who don't cover the sports, it seems like, you know, that maybe LSU folded into pressure with Will Wade, or let me ask you this question. Did they somehow think that, hey, he's got a good chance, he might not even have to testify, let's go ahead and bring him back now and roll the dice?
I mean, that's very possible based on how recent their meeting was. I mean,
right.
You know, they announced this, what? It was the Ultimate Game of Thrones news dump, right?
Yeah, Sunday
like
night.
Sunday evening. So, you know, you get out ahead of it, then you kind of have an idea of where this is going to happen. And then you say, well, reinstate the coach. Then the athletic director kind of slinks off. He's now going to have a fundraising job special to the president of the university. And you bring the university, you bring the new guy in. Also, too, this does set up, and I don't necessarily know if it'll happen, but we also have to keep in mind in all of these contexts, remember when we go through each coaching search and each time a coach has a bad year, it's always, well, the athletic director who's now in charge of the athletic department is not the guy who hired him. As almost like, you know, it's not the AD's guy.
True.
It makes it easier for somebody to pull the plug. Now, who knows? If LSU has another great season, Will Wade's not going anywhere. But, you know, if things start falling apart, that's going to be very much thrown out there saying, well, hey, look, Scott Woodward didn't hire Will Wade. He doesn't have loyalty to him. He could easily say, well, it's time to make a change, you know, and move on. But Jamie Pollard actually just tweeted this out a few minutes ago because I was thinking about it as we were talking. There are, of the Power 5 schools, there's 65 Power 5 schools. There are only now 12 athletic directors who were hired before 2010 that are still at their current.
Good Lord. Hey, who would be – that's a crazy stat. Who would be on the hotter seat right now, Will Wade or Ed Orgeron with the new AD coming in?
Ooh, that is a fantastic question.
Right?
I think you have to talk about – you'd have to say Will Wade first.
Right,
just
yeah.
Simply because of the – extenuating circumstances. That being said, we all know what the cost of success is at LSU, what the standards are, today. And if you've got a Texas A&M program, what Jimbo did in the first year, you've got Arkansas, who's now, you know, trying, they've got higher expectations year after year. The SEC West, there is very little room to fall. Mississippi State, you know, they like what they saw to Joe Moorhead's first year. This is tough. So, you know, if you have an 8-win season, just what we saw with Les Miles, you know, 8-win season, people start really getting upset.
Not cutting it. So, yeah, it'd be interesting. Hey, what did you make of the Rick Barnes UCLA stuff?
I was absolutely floored that he flat out said that if UCLA would have paid the buyout, he'd be at UCLA right now. you know, and not that I don't doubt that it's true. I think that's true in a lot more instances than we want to think.
Right.
I think I was floored with the fact that he was so truthful about it.
Yeah, I agree with you a little bit on that one. Mike Anderson to St. John's, Nick. This kind of came out of nowhere, dude.
And he was St. John's 15th choice. Right?
Yeah, dude. I mean, he was like on the second page of the list.
Yeah, and he's not a guy from the New York City area. He doesn't recruit up. It's going to be a fascinating hire. You know, St. John's is a historic program that we have seen just absolutely crater in recent years. Chris Mullen did not have coaching experience. So that's a big thing. He did not, but it's his alma mater. If there was ever going to be a guy who could help bring St. John's back, it's Chris Mullen. He does not do well at St. John's. Now you're having Mike Anderson. You know, at the very least, St. John's, I think, will be entertaining. They'll probably pull off a home upset or once or twice, then they're also, as we've seen with Mike Anderson's team, feels like everywhere from UAB to Missouri to Arkansas, they will get shellacked by 30 on the road by somebody.
It's interesting, he'll get to coach in the Garden now. You know what I mean? I'm sure that was kind of a selling point. I mean, I don't know.
It's crazy. And also, too, another guy who was mentioned in this coaching search before they hired Anderson for more SEC ties was Frank Hayes. Apparently they decided they wanted to go after former Missouri coaches or something. I don't know.
I don't get it. Hey, what do you make of switching to NFL just for a minute? Ian Rappaport had put something out about John Gruden and Mike Mayock sending all their scouts home for the weekend, and he says they are not expected to return by draft time. Man, what do you make of what's going on in Oakland, dude, with all the draft picks that they have?
I would not want – if I'm one of the first – one of those four potential first-round quarterbacks, I would – in terms of picking destinations, I think I'd want to have Oakland down on my list.
So pulling Eli Manning?
You know, the dysfunction just feels like it's always one thing after another. And maybe, you know, maybe Arizona can say, hey, look, Oakland, if you want to give us every one of your first-round picks, you can gladly have number one to take Kyler Murray if you want. But I'm sure Kyler Murray himself is sitting there going, please, Arizona, keep this pick. I'd like to come play for Cliff Kingsbury. You know, but I just – it's hard to see if they want to go the quarterback route and replace Derek Carr. It's hard to see them, whoever they end up drafting, likely not Kyler Murray, will be a success just because as we see more and more – young quarterback has to have a solid coaching staff, a solid organization around him, and there has been absolutely nothing so far that we've seen from the Oakland Raiders on that fact. And also with the Raiders too, one of two teams absolutely screwed with the schedule that came out this week. It's something like they go from the middle of September, late September, to the early middle of November without playing a home game. One of their home games is in London, and you kind of expect that from a team that's relocating to Las Vegas soon, but still, you know, it's the schedule does not do them absolutely any favors whatsoever in 2019.
Nick, since we're here on the NFL right now, a couple more questions. Looking at Russell Wilson, now he's the richest contract ever in NFL history. Is he worth that type of money? I know if you don't have a quarterback, you don't have anything in that league. And you know, looking at it, I guess you'd have to say it's like Brady, Rodgers, and I guess you throw Russell Wilson in there and the MVP season that he had, you know, close to last season. Did you think he deserved that big contract, or is it a little too much?
I thought it was interesting. I thought it would have been interesting to see what would happen if the Seahawks had not given him the deal past his self-imposed deadline, because, you know, he didn't have much leverage other than being unhappy. And I realized the Seahawks did not want an unhappy franchise quarterback. But I think, you know, that's the going rate now.
Did they panic?
I wonder if they did panic a little bit, because I do wonder if they could have forced Russell Wilson's hand. What is he going to do? I mean, he's not going to sit out. He's Russell Wilson. You could come to an agreement, finally find a lower number. But that being said, I think you have to give the Seahawks credit for doing what they did. They not only they paid Russell Wilson, but they took advantage of the salary cap space now and paid a bunch of money up front in terms of that signing bonus because they had the cash and were able to do it. So his cap hit going forward over the next few seasons is not going to be as bad as if you'd have been an escalating contract and then be stuck with a lot of dead money or a huge cap hit if you wanted to, you know, cut him or keep him. That being said, I think the fascinating thing, especially from, you know, my neck of the woods here, is we've already reached the point in April of 2019 of discussing what Patrick Mahomes' next contract is going to be. And I think a lot of people feel very convinced he's going to be the NFL's first $200 million guy, thanks to contracts like Russell Wilson's. Probably Dak Prescott's contract will happen before Mahomes. So you look at this, I realize this is banking a lot on Mahomes having another very good to great season. And I think, you know, asking to replicate 2018 is absolutely crazy, but I think he will have a very good season again. But, you know, you're looking at a guy who is going to be paid and is going to set the new standard. We saw what Russell Wilson did. We're going to see the new standard set very, very soon in terms of Mahomes.
Man, what a time to be alive when we start throwing out $200 million NFL contracts. That's something else. Last one for me.
That's crazy.
We're Pro Browns station here. We talk a lot, especially this show.
They
about
are.
The station, the show. We talk a lot about the Browns and the recent hype. Can they really do something in your eyes, or just they still just Cleveland Browns at the end of the day? Because the hype is real now, and you got a lot of people starting to pick them and come around and really think they're going to do something next season.
You know, I think it's a stretch to say the Browns are the division favorites. I don't think it's a stretch to say the Browns will contend for the division and be a potential wild card team, because if you look at every single team in the AFC North, they have holes on their roster. And I think, quite honestly, if you want to pick the Ravens, you want to pick the Steelers, that's fine. But I do think that there is a case to be made without falling over laughing that the Browns have the best overall roster construction in the AFC North, especially if and when Kareem Hunt is no longer suspended by the NFL.
Nick, NASCAR talk. So getting into the last two weekends, man, and kind of an open weekend going on, and there were a couple articles written about attendance, and one article they wrote about Richmond and how people were going up there just to tailgate. You know what I mean? And not even going, and I forgot, I hate that I forgot who wrote that. But looking at it from afar, the last two weekends have not looked good for the sport, man. And A tweet just popped up a second ago. This is kind of off the cuff. Said, you know, it's Free Friday at Pocono if you bring a Monster Energy can. Like, what are... Is there a game plan, dude, for this thing going forward? Or are they just going into this thing week to week and trying to figure out how to get as many people in the stands as possible? I mean, there are more people at Tennessee spring game last week than there was at Bristol. I mean, things have got to get better, right?
Because what was the Tennessee spring game, at least he announced?
It was announced at 50, but to be honest with you, there was probably about 40,000.
Okay, you're still right there with Bristol, because Bristol, the estimates that I had heard and trusted from people were 36 or 38. So, you're saying that the Tennessee spring game attendance was more than Bristol is not an overstatement by any means. Here's the catch 22. The NASCAR television contract is set up to where tracks get 65% of the television revenue.
Good Lord.
So, and it's obviously a little different for each track based on how each track has its budget. But a track can do very, very well. I don't necessarily know unless they make a profit, but they can do very, very well and have a fantastic starting point from the television money alone. So you can look at a track that has 30,000 people like Richmond did, a track like Richmond who overbuilt in the last 15 years and has been consistently taking away seats.
Yes.
And, you know, they're not in a financial bind because they only had 30,000 people in the at the track on Saturday night because of the TV money. That being said, you then have the other argument of, well, the track could be totally fine and surviving with the half full or one third full, whatever you want to say, grandstand. But the optics of that is bad because you don't want to go to a race, or you don't think a race that doesn't have a full grandstand, you know, you turn the race, you go, dang, there's nobody at the NASCAR race. What the heck's going on? And you start having those thoughts. And I realize that, you know, people can easily say, well, look, you know, there's empty seats at baseball games all the time. There's empty seats at football games all the time. Yeah. And you know, college football is having this problem, as you all know very well, is colleges are trying to figure out ways to get and keep students going to games. Alabama's going to have a retention program going in 2019, and we're talking about the absolute best program in college football. But that you say that, there are 81 baseball games a year. You have 8 NFL regular season games a year. You have 6 or 7 home college football games a year. NASCAR is in Richmond twice. You know, some tracks only have one date. For many people, NASCAR is a once or a twice a year sporting event to go to. Talking about NASCAR attendance is not relative to an NBA, NHL, any other team in any other sport, simply because of the quantity and the amount of home games. And I also do think we have to really take into account, and nobody really seems to talk about this, is the fact that, you know, there's this more short tracks argument. And this is a point that was, you know, annoyed the crap out of me post-Bristol, where people said, well, if you want more short tracks in NASCAR, you need to go to them. All right, fine. There are only 6 short tracks races a year in the Cup Series. They're at 3 different tracks: Martinsville, Bristol, Richmond. Those tracks, within the grand scheme of the United States, all in the Eastern time zone and not very far from each other. You can't ask a NASCAR fan on the West Coast who maybe lives in Colorado, Utah, someplace without a track for hundreds of miles to say, well, if you really want NASCAR to race on a short track, you need to come to Bristol, Martinsville, or Richmond. That's absolutely preposterous. You've got to figure out how you can, if you want more short tracks, that's great, but find these short tracks where people can get to them, can go to them, and you're not saturated in such a small market that has seen such precipitous attendance drop-offs over the last 15 years.
It blows my mind, man. It really does. What, you think Talladega would be a good time?
I am absolutely fascinated by Talladega because, you know, here we go talking about new rules again. But,
God,
you know, this is going to be the first time, at Talladega or Daytona that they're going to run these cars basically without the modifications that they've been running with them at previous restrictor plate races. They're keeping the tapered spacer. So the horsepower is going to be the same as it is like Kansas Speedway. But the spoiler is going to be 9 inches. These cars are going to have these massive spoilers on them. So I'm interested to see how the draft works. I think you're going to see the same general style of racing in terms of big packs at Talladega, but I don't necessarily know. I think the way drivers are going to figure out that passing, I think, is going to be a little different than it used to be. And so the guys that have been really good side draft, you know, the Penske guys, Denny Hamlin, they come to mind immediately. They may have to figure out and adjust the way they've been racing and passing because the tricks that they've learned over the last few years may not work anymore.
Last question on the way out, buddy. Nashville, NASCAR, people are pissed off because they released some renderings of it, but they want to, you know, put an influx of money into this thing, somewhere like $51 million. Have seating at 30,000 at the Nashville Fairgrounds Speedway. In your opinion, in the next 4 to 5 years, will there be any kind of NASCAR series racing at the Fairgrounds Speedway?
No. Outside of ARCA, which I guess is now NASCAR, but anything above ARCA, Trucks Xfinity, no. I think this is it's hard to read any of the coverage coming from Nashville.
I know.
Without saying that Speedway Motorsports Inc. dropped the ball on this. I think this was they let the cart get a little too far out of the horse here, from the horse here, in terms of public opinion and getting people excited about NASCAR perhaps coming back to Nashville. I mean, when you've got commissioners basically saying, hey, look, you haven't given us a real plan, and Bristol says, well, we look forward to sharing our plan with you. you know, if you have a plan but you haven't shared it with them, you're basically at zero right now.
Good God. Nick Bromberg, Yahoo Sports. Tell everybody where they can follow you and your fantastic work.
Sports.yahoo.com. Well, I'm looking forward to this off week. I don't get many of these off weekends now.
What are you going to do?
The Cup season also 25% over. So I dove deep into the stats this week for the Cup Series. My wrote yesterday about, I don't know if you guys heard about this. Did you guys see the Cal Poly NCAA in practice?
Yeah, I did. That didn't make any
sense. Too many textbooks. There was one poor kid ineligible because they paid him $5 more than his books were worth.
Good God, man. The NCAA doing their due diligence. God bless them.
Always bleeping it up.
Hey, well, you know what? In North Carolina, totally fine because the fraud was available to everyone. But
right.
How dare you get an $800 check?
Oh, God. I just want to know how long Aunt Becky's going to have to go to jail for. So,
you know, they need to put Aunt Becky and Felicity Huffman like in neighboring jail cells.
I would like to see them actually go and do that show on A&E called, what's it called, like 30 Days In. And just,
oh, yeah, then they're like locked up on MSNBC or something too. Yeah.
Right, exactly. And get paid to do it, but I'll pay to watch them in jail.
Oh, my goodness. Yes.
Right,
and then you could have some stupid Full House Takeoff name.
Exactly, it would be fantastic. I would absolutely enjoy it. So it looks like we're coming up with ideas we can roll with, brother.
We're gonna be rich now, right?
You got that right, buddy. Have a great Easter weekend, man. I appreciate you joining us, and we'll talk next week.
Sounds great. Cadbury egg season is here.
My man, see you, buddy.
Have a good one,
Nick Bromberg, Yahoo Sports. Great guy, great interview. Always, he's come on with us now every single week for the last 7 months, and I appreciate him more than he knows. Let's take a break, getting that look. We'll come back and talk about Chance's favorite subject. Do that on the other side. It's Optional, Fox Sports Knoxville.
I mean, I'll come back in and talk. I don't care. Welcome back to It's Optional.
Not
here
NASCAR.
On Fan Run Radio. 865-546-8200, 546-8200 if you want to get on with us. It's not that I don't
nine-inch
like
spoiler, huh?
NASCAR. Yeah, I don't know what the hell that was about. Does anybody know what that was about?
You don't know what a 9-inch spoiler is?
I know what a spoiler is, Trey Wallace. I can assume what a 9-inch spoiler is, but act like I really knew what the hell you guys were talking about the last 10 minutes of that interview, I'd be doing our audience
like a personal
injustice.
Problem.
See, whenever you say
I don't know that half our audience knew what the hell y'all were talking about the last 15 minutes.
I think
minutes.
They knew about bump drafting.
I knew you were talking about NASCAR. Let me give you the gist. NASCAR's dying. Nobody's watching it. Nobody's going to the races.
Not watching.
And then they're trying to try old tricks at Talladega to get people back out there. Boom. Just solve NASCAR.
The Atlanta Braves thing.
Here's how you fix it.
Yeah.
You just make it no rules.
They need
let you allow to do anything.
They need to fight.
Let those things run wide
they need
open.
To fight.
Really worked out for Dale Earnhardt Sr., didn't
it? When you go to your
all they did was changed was the safety device they wear in
he
the
was,
car.
He didn't have a Honda. He didn't have a Hans device on.
Which, you go to the county dirt track.
That, but I'm saying
they get into a little racing. Scuffle. They get into a little scuffle. They need fighting in NASCAR. They need to let them fight. Yep.
Like the old days.
Yeah, man.
I feel like there's a lot of crossover between people that like NASCAR and people that like
how
wrestling.
How can you save
and
NASCAR?
Wrestling's doing really good, so you need to take something from wrestling.
When all you NASCAR fans started not going to the races, NASCAR's got a problem.
See, I don't think it was because they don't like NASCAR anymore. I think it was because it got too expensive.
Why is NASCAR out here trying to be filet mignon when it's an Angus beef?
I mean, they're charging
when it's just a burger. Well, it's a burger.
Were charging $300 for a hotel room in Johnson City for the Bristol race.
NASCAR
why people don't come.
Trying to outkick its own coverage as a declining sport.
Well, the hotels, that's kind of up to them how much they charge.
Yeah,
I get that, but the prices were back down to $60 on Monday.
Yeah.
That's the market.
I know it's the market. I get that. But also,
a little price gouging happens every weekend.
They also
around here
realize that these
season
teams don't need hotel rooms in Bristol. They fly in and out of the races. Do you know that?
Well, they don't need hotel rooms because they sleep in their big RVs. They have these fancy.
The drivers?
Like the drivers have those.
The drivers have their motorhomes.
That's what
I'm
saying.
Pit crews, team, you know, team management. They fly these guys in the day of the race. So you see these pit crews that are in there? Okay, I'm going to give you a word of knowledge real quick before we take one last break here. Pit crews and mechanics, the people that work on the car, completely different people. Mechanics that work on the car and all that stuff, they're going out and they're testing and they're qualifying all that, completely different. They fly in the pit crews, the tire changers, the jackman, all that. They fly them in early Sunday morning. That's their only job is to change a tire. That's their only job.
Okay.
Mechanics are the ones that are in there from Friday
morning. They like to be called engineers.
Well, that too. Some of them can be. The people working on Bubba's cars can just be called dumbasses. But the fact
that's a little harsh.
No, it's not.
Getting a little personal here.
No, I get a little personal. His crew
like
chief
it
sucks.
Seems like it.
No, his crew chief's horrible. I bet we could put you on the pit box stand and get more out of Bubba's crew chief.
Let's not get crazy now.
Okay. No, I'm just being honest with you. It was bad last week. He was like, you don't need any grip. You're good. Well, let's just try to beat the 33 car. Like, he was like in 28th place. It's like, okay. And then he came on the radio. What do you need, Bubba? A new sponsor. that's literally what he says. So it was bad. And he says, if you need to talk to me, you go through my spotter now. Like, it is what it is, man.
NASCAR.
No, it's
hashtag NASCAR.
You've got to learn to enjoy it. There are listeners out here that actually enjoy NASCAR.
Some of them are too quiet on it
because they don't want to be embarrassed.
If we went down to
the
race,
they should air their
grievances. I was like on the infield and saw all the behind the scenes stuff, I think I would like.
That's fun.
I would really enjoy that. Now, if it's a Sunday afternoon, am I going to turn that on? No, I'll probably watch golf.
Well, that's because you can catch a nap in the middle of NASCAR. Before Bubba was racing, I used to catch a nap.
No, I mean, I like legitimately enjoy like watching. You talk about fantasy NASCAR. I play fantasy golf, so I like legitimately enjoy golf.
Yeah, I like golf too.
I'll watch the Waste Management Open in Phoenix. I don't care.
Well, that's a fun one, though.
Right. I'm just saying, like, it doesn't have to be a major. I'll watch pretty much every Sunday. Okay. St. Jude Classic. Doesn't matter.
That's coming up soon in Memphis. I think next week. I think 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's right around Easter every year. So,
I'm just saying, I think if y'all got a behind the scenes look at NASCAR, your opinion would probably change a little bit.
It's like baseball.
Right.
If you're at a baseball game, everyone loves baseball when you're at the game.
Like, I mean, you're just walking, you know, in the garage, and all of a sudden you got a car coming by, you're going 40 trying to get into his garage. Like,
I don't think I would like how loud it is, though.
You just have earplugs. No, you have headphones on. Like if Bubba races, I don't go sit in the stands. I sit either in his motorhome, walk around the garage area, or up and down pit road. I never sit on like the pit box, but I always have his like headphones on, so I can hear what Bubba's saying in the car wherever I'm at around the track.
Oh, that's cool.
So I know like if he's coming into pit, I can go over there and watch him pit.
Yeah.
You know, that part's neat of it. Go catch videos.
Can you talk to the people around you, or is it just headphones that block out noise?
Because
part of why I go is, like, I'd want to talk to people.
You don't want
to
push the button, because if you push the button, you'll be talking to Bubba in the car. On accident. Yeah. You don't ever do that, ever. That's just for crew chief and spotter. But you can talk to people around you. You can hear them. I mean, the tracks are so damn big, usually. You know, you just take your earphone off, talk to them, so that. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of difficult, but
right.
You But it is a neat experience. And
yeah, I'll give you that. If we were at a race in the infield, I got to see like the garage and all the stuff before the race. Like, oh, I know I'd love that. That would be awesome.
Right, right. And the motor, the haulers that they have are just huge and expensive. I don't know how they get them in these tiny little spots whenever they park.
So could you say that given his sponsor is not very good?
Well, not that their sponsors aren't good. It's just, well, it's not a lot of
Yeah, so money. Is he kind of like Lightning McQueen with the Rusty's oil guys? the underdog that's going to win the, the Piston Cup? Going cars on you.
My hope is, and this is just from family's perspective, my hope is that Cuz gets a new ride next year and gets out of the 43. Because the 43, they don't have a lot of money. They act like they do.
I was going to say.
They act like the 43 is king of the sport.
That's
because,
what I thought.
Because of Richard Petty.
Which he was. He is the king.
Right. He is the king. No, God bless the king. Yeah. 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 But I'm saying that it's not all sunshine and rainbows. You know, that all NASCAR teams are struggling right now to fund because they're losing money when every time they come out to a track. I mean, Joe Gibbs Racing, they have two private 737s. 747. No, 737. Which one's the smaller one? 737?
Yeah.
Yeah, 737s. They travel in and out every weekend carrying. So a lot of money goes into the – it's weird.
Yeah, he needs to get a ride with them.
Well, he did in the past. He did drive for Joe Gibbs.
Damn. We just talked 15 minutes NASCAR.
Yeah, absolutely. Again. And I didn't need you to say a damn thing about it.
What the hell is going on?
It's optional. We'll come back for the first segment of the second hour. Then Chance, Brandon, everybody will take you home.
Thank goodness. We'll have to talk no more. Damn NASCAR! If I have to do another 15-minute segment of NASCAR.
I did, too. You get a behind-the-scenes look at it. I don't care.
Nobody got any behind-the-scenes. It was just you telling me things I don't even know what you were talking about.
Look at this
face. Who knew what we were talking about?
Do I really care?
Who knew what we were talking about?
Honestly, do I really care?
Who knew what we were talking about?
If you liked it or not, I don't even care.
Who knew what we were talking about?
Go to break. I really don't care if you liked it or not. I'm going to talk about freaking
NASCAR.
IndyCar next segment.